Spirit of levels of the earth. With power in your word, we exalt thee in our worship. God of all the earth, Alpha Omega, Adonai, we bow before thee. Chukwu Anile, Oyeza Putaye.
Oh, yeah. are so good. Oh, we worship you, Lord.
God, Lord.
Awesome God.
Lord, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you, Father. Thank you for another day, another opportunity to worship you in the earth realm. We know one of these days we will be with you forever in your presence, worshiping you in the New Jerusalem. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity day by day. Lord, O God, that in our worship, in our praise, we override the presence of the darkness that is in this world. As we worship you, the only true God, you are beautiful in all of your ways. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Of all praise. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Let your people be refreshed in your presence today. We magnify you, Lord. We declare your praise, Father. We say truly, let your kingdom come and your will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Have your way in this place and be exalted, O God, in our praise. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is good to see this change, to see your faces. For the longest time, I looked at empty chairs. And it's so good to see your faces today as you worship God and worshiped Him. You were hot, hot, hot. It was so good. It was so good. Amen. Thank you for leading us in worship. Amen. I want to thank God for every one of you. You may be seated. I want to thank God for every one of you that have taken time to be here on this special day of the Lord, the seventh day of the month, March, the year 2021. This is a special year. Hallelujah. God will fulfill His words concerning you and I, and we will experience Him in ways that we've not experienced Him before. Hallelujah. Thank God for the special meetings that we completed, I guess that'll be 2 Sundays ago. And in a few days from now, we're going to start another set of meetings. And this one is going to be heart, heart, heart. It's on spiritual warfare. We've started sharing some flyers on Facebook Live and or right on Facebook. And I would like for you to share it and encourage others to share it. The last gathering that we had, our reach was very global. We reached into communities that were predominantly Muslim. We went into the European nations, and the word went across. Amen? And this one that we're going to be having coming up is going to be so powerful. The word I heard from the Lord as he told me about it was that we're going to push back the darkness. Hallelujah. That there's going to be a seismic shift. Praise God. Something is going to get shaken. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you to get ready. Oh, yeah. I don't think he's going to like this one. Because this is going to be trouble for the devil and his cohorts. Hallelujah. And, you know, there are meetings coming up, and the Lord is already speaking to me about what to do and what he wants to accomplish. And I'm excited about this year. Because this year, just like the Lord said early in the year, I think it slipped out of my mouth, we're going to have meetings every month this year. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be for your good. God is doing a quick work. I want you to get ready. This is not a time to slouch. This is a time for us to stand strong in the authority of his everlasting name. That name that's above every other name. We will get back everything the enemy has stolen. Amen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen to me. You're not just going to get back what has been stolen from you. You're going to get back what has been stolen from your family. I'm talking about generational restoration. Somebody say generational restoration. Say it again. Generational restoration. We are going to get back. You know, the Bible says that Levi gave tithe in Abraham. And that's three generations up. What Abraham was doing here was reaching out that far. Well, God talks about a thousand generations. Well, whatever the enemy has taken, whatever the enemy has taken, we are going to take back. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what the enemy took from my father. I don't know what he took from my grandfather. I don't know what he took from my great-grandfather and the father before him and the father before him and the father before him and the father, the families before them. But I am going to go far back. Amen. In the name of the Lord. And I'm going to collect everything that is good, and everything that is not good is going to be burnt away. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. My spirit is receiving so much information right now. If I start talking about that, that'll be, the service is just going to change totally. And I don't think that's what he wants to do. But right now, I want you to know something. You're going to get everything back. Because God is calling for restoration of everything before he comes back. He is going to balance the scale. Hallelujah. 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 My fathers cannot be chowing down on lemons and my teeth be on edge. And God is saying, I'm going to reverse that. Too many people struggling with the challenges that they had nothing to do with. You're fighting battles that you have no reason to fight. And God's saying, I'm stepping in. And I'm going to help you push back this darkness. You're going to rise. You're going to rise. I said, you're going to rise. I said, you're going to rise. I say, you're going to rise. I say, you are going to rise. I say, you are going to rise. I say, you're going to rise. I say, you're going to rise. And you're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Mighty God. You are coming into a rest that you did not know you're coming into. Yeah. This battle is the Lord's battle. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Say, I'm taking everything that belongs to me. Now, and from generations past, everything. I stretch the hand of God to what belongs to me and my family, and I pull it to this present moment. Now, wealth and riches, glory be to God. I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that things will begin to happen for you that you cannot explain, because it has been owed to you. Every debt shall be paid in full. You receive that? Shout hallelujah. Glory be to God. Mama, please come. Adobo shandala boko tebala de ke teba. Rebalado so ko tebara shandakai. Ye ke rebalado si ke. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Is that Francis that I see? Wow. Praise the Lord. So good to see you. Praise the Lord. Well, God day, everybody. Hallelujah. Let's rise and go into our next phase. Praise the Lord. You know, many of you here don't know Francis. He was our first caretaker of this house. God bless him. It's good to see him. So let's call him. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Let's pray for the children so they are able to go to their classrooms. You know, we miss them coming to the altar, but wherever they are standing, the Lord is with them. The Bible says the children have their own angels. Do you know the children, they have angels that report to God every day? Every day. They tattletale on you, so you better treat them right. So they tell on everything. So what's going on in your home? What's going on at school? What's going on with their lives? So the Bible said the angels speak for them. Hallelujah. So let's pray for them. That's why you should, as a parent, know that your children are safe. Nobody can bully your children. You just need to activate children. My children's angels are at work on my children's behalf. Say amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for all you have done for us. We thank you for everyone that you have touched with your hands. Most of the time, some of us won't have been here, but you have made a way for us. So we thank you that through it all, we came through victorious. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you for all our beautiful children, biological, spiritual, partners all over the world, extended families. We leave them before you. Children from 120 plus to zero, those in seed form, those in the womb, those in school age, career age, college age, every age, retirement age, every one of them, we leave them before you. Father, touch their lives. Minister grace to them. Cause them to flourish and prosper. Cause them to remain in divine health. Cause them to know the Lord, to really have a personal relationship with you. And Lord, when we have that, every other thing is added. That the kingdom of God is the most important thing to their lives. And then everything else is added to them. They excel in everything. Excel in strength. Excel in knowledge. Excel in wisdom. Excel in understanding. Excel in their homes, in their relationships. In the mighty name of Jesus. Excel in ministry. Every area, Lord, in business. Everything you have called them to do. That they excel in all of them. Because we serve an excellent God. We thank you for their lives. Healing is the children's meat. We thank you that all our children are healed, restored, and made whole. If you're a 120 plus child that is hearing the sound of my voice this morning, healing is your meat. Healing is your meat. You heal the brokenhearted. You heal the sick. You heal all manner of sickness. You deliver people from all kinds of captivity. Lord, we thank you for healing, deliverance, and freedom from all captivities. Captivity of the mind, captivity of the soul, captivity of the physical body, captivity of every area of their life, of their hearing, their sight, their organs, in the name of Jesus. Heal, restore, make whole, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that they'll have a good time in their classes. They will love God, and God, you already showered your love on us. We receive you. We welcome your holy presence now into the service. Spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Spirit of counsel, might, and the fear of the Lord. In all your spirit, which is your holy word. Move in our hearts, in our church, in our family, in every area of our lives, in our city and our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and we're going to read the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 6. I think there are 13 verses, but we're going to read. Just go out quietly. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 6. I think there are 13 verses, but we're going to read, start reading from, I need more verse 1 to 8, but if we are able to, we'll finish it. Read the whole chapter on your own if I did not finish it. All right, everybody should be there. Isaiah chapter 6, we start reading from verse 1. In the year, remember, the word of the Lord is Jesus. He is the living word. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is what? God. So when you say this, God is in your tongue. Say amen. No time to be silent. Say the Word and let faith begin to grow inside you. All right. In the year that King... I wish we can do something about the humming. It's really distracting for me, so... Let me hold it this way. You can hear me? Okay, I'll hold it down. So when it's closed, I don't know, I get the feedback. As far as you don't hear it, then that's fine. You don't hear the feedback, I get it here. All right. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, that's a scripture that tells you that Jesus existed. That's why I said before Abraham, I am. Hallelujah. Before Abraham, I was. He wasn't physically born yet. But his sin by Isaiah sitting upon a throne, wearing a train that filled the temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you say you serve the Ancient of Days, this is what you're talking about. He existed before time, before anything was made. Hallelujah. That's the person you were singing his praise this morning. That's the person you came to meet with this morning. Hallelujah. He's seated. It's not fretting and worrying. Seated on his throne, ruling and reigning, and being in control of everything. Hallelujah. He's in control of your life if you surrender to him today. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one, these are special angels, each one had six wings. With twain, he covered his face, and with twain, he covered his feet, and with twain, he did fly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feet, face, all covered, and yet with two is flying. Six wings. Hallelujah. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When you have time and you get home, you can read Ezekiel 1. It describes how these angels look like. Verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Can you say holy, holy? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Are you in the earth right now? Wherever you are, the glory is all around you. Somebody say, glory is all around me. Including your house, including your workplace. You walk in a realm within a realm. You live in a place within a place. You live in a house within a house. You live in a city within a city. The glory is all around you. Hallelujah. 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 And some of us, we sleep in a place within a place. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, if you don't understand it, just say amen. And speaking to your spirit man, not to your carnal man, so your carnal man might not get it, but your spirit man gets it. Hallelujah. 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 They cried. Each time you're worshiping God, something is happening. There is a movement. There is a movement. Things are shifting and moving. Things are shifting and moving. Things are shifting and moving. I don't know what you've been dealing with all week. There should be a move. There should be a move. There should be a move. Shift and move. Shift and move. Can somebody shout, holy! Verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Somebody say, amen. Say, Lord, let this happen to me. You know, sometimes you will think you are special already until God really revealed himself to you, and then you can't help but to cry holy. You just lay down in one place and you don't move. May God open our eyes to see him. May God open our eyes to see him. And may God cause us to cry out for him to clean our life completely. Because if you see yourself with your own eyes, you are deceiving yourself. May God allow you to see yourself the way he sees you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you ought to be saying a big amen. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Isaiah now saw himself. He thought he was already a holy person until he saw the Lord and he saw what holiness is. May God open our eyes to see his true holiness. In the name of Jesus, that we will be drawn to him. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, hallelujah, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. Hallelujah. Whether you believe it or not, there is a real altar. There's the altar of God, and in that altar there is fire. And there's the fire that cleanses. May God's holy fire cleanse us this morning. Purify us in the name of Jesus. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Somebody put your hand on your lips and say, Father, send your fire. Cleanse my lips. Remove every iniquity. Remove every sin from my life. If you believe that, say amen. Say amen. We're talking about a prophet who have seen Jesus sitting on a throne and yet saying, Lord, cleanse me. Somebody that has not even been born, that a name has not been given to, he has seen the Lord. May we humble ourselves and cry to the Lord. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. And that's what Apostle was talking about today, that everything that has been stolen to be restored, for it to be restored, iniquity is got to go. Say amen. Because it's iniquity that held them back from you. So when they leave, they will come. Say amen. Let the fire of God begin to work on us. Cleanse us and burn every unrighteousness from our lives. Remove every sin and iniquity. The weight of sin to be burned out of our lives. That the weight of glory will come upon our lives. In the name of Jesus. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Are there people who are saying, God, use me, send me, I'm available. Here am I, send me. Can you boldly pray that prayer today? Here am I, send me. You see, a lot of you are quiet. You couldn't pray that. But it's important. It's a prayer that you can ask God to do. You might not be a pastor, a preacher. You might not be an apostle, an evangelist, or a teacher. But you are a worker in the house of the Lord. Say amen. So there is something you can do. You can come here. If somebody drops something on the floor, you can pick it up. Say amen. You don't walk past it and say, that's for somebody who's cleaning. You just pick it up. So there are things you can do. Say amen. There are many things you can do. You don't have to wait for others to tell you to do it. They walk in the house of the Lord to do. There's always plenty. Just ask the people who are serving. The same bunch are serving all the time. So them and their family are collecting all the blessings, including yours. See, only few people could say amen to that. Some of you, you are so involved in your own life and not in God. And other people are involved, but you demand time all the time. Give me this time, give me that time. But you have no time for the Lord. God will give you his time when you give him your time. So when you call, he will hear you. Say amen. Say, Lord, send me. and many things we can do. Verse 9, and he said, go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Tell the people. So if you don't know what to say, say, tell them. You're just living in this world. You don't see anything. You hear, you don't know anything, but here's the word of the Lord. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. So if we tell them, they will be converted. They will be healed. When we don't tell them, their lives are destroyed. You are important. You can tell somebody about Jesus. Verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Say, Lord, have mercy. Say, Lord, have mercy. You need to pray that every day for your life, for your city, for your nation. Because there are cities right now in the world that were so beautiful, full of precious things, have a history of thousands of years old. They are being totally destroyed and brought to waste and desolation. So can this happen? Yes. We must cry that it will not happen to us. Say amen. Say amen. A little COVID that happened, the world was like panicking. People were fighting in the mall over toilet roll. What happened if there's absolutely no grocery? No trees bearing fruit. No wheat is coming from the earth. No grain. No vegetables. No water. Are you going to eat your gold? The Bible says you bring a bag of gold, it will not buy a piece of bread. Not even a stale bread. You won't get it. But we have a God who can send a raven to feed you. Somebody shout hallelujah. You are in a world within a world. Say amen. You are in a place within a place. You are in a place of supply within a supply. God has his secret stash. He will take you to that place. Somebody shout hallelujah. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. There are cities now that men are not living, destroyed. Even there are some in our own time, present time. What's happening in Syria, in Aleppo right now? That was a beautiful ancient city. Being completely destroyed because of human sin and iniquity. Not because that's what God desires, but that's what man has done to man. May God have mercy on us. Say amen. So pray for your city. Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Say they that love Jerusalem will prosper. So as you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, God will give you peace in your own city. As you are cursing Jerusalem, God will curse your own. So may you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You don't have to understand it or just do what the word says. Last verse. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Who is the holy seed? Who is the holy seed? Jesus is the holy seed. The seed of the woman shall destroy and crush the head of the serpent. The holy seed, in him we have our substance. In him we have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. He's the holy one that Isaiah saw seated on the throne. His train filled the temple. The strain is in this temple right now. He used to say, Lord, touch me. Touch my family. Touch my life. Touch my ministry. Touch everything concerning me. In the name of Jesus. Say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Thanks. Aren't you glad that you serve a God who is all-powerful and yet so tender, merciful and kind? Serve a good God. Whatever it is that we talk about this year, the one central theme, even when it is not mentioned, that I need you to grasp is that the underlying statement of the Lord to us this year is that this year is the year of the establishment of his covenant. On the 19th day of January 2020, that's very early in the year, the Lord spoke to me. I was here early in the morning. I must have been here maybe some 20-something minutes when I heard it loud and clear. 2021, year of covenant establishment. And the Lord gave me a verse. Genesis 17:21. I stopped. I said, Lord, we're just starting 2020. Why are you talking about 2021 already? Because God knew what was going to happen in 2020. He knew the hassle that we're going to be facing. He'd given us a prophetic statement concerning 2020. He talked about the open door and within the shut door and all of that. And he just poured his word into our spirit prophetically. And so I went back and began to reflect on all the things that God was talking about. It dawned on me that I was saying things in the spirit that I wasn't clued to. If I knew what I was talking about, I would be so scared of what was going to happen in 2020. God was putting his spin on it. It had to take us past 2020 to 2021. You're going to go through, but you're coming through. But I have a promise for you. I'm going to establish my covenant. And gave that passage in Genesis 17:21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. So, come 2021, the Lord began with helping us to know there is a covenant. and then brought us to the place where we started to grasp and understand who the covenant is with, who is making this covenant. Because if you making a covenant with some broke guy, and then the guy is promising you all kinds of stuff, and the guy is broke, you know that thing is not going to happen. But we're talking about a God who is so capable. He is well able to do not just that, but he's going to exceed. You see, the way I see it, God deals with, he tells you the minimum. Did you hear what I said? He tells you the minimum. This is what I'm going to do, but understand when God says, this is what I'm going to do, that is at the basement level. He's going to exceed that. Because God is a God who does the press down, shaking together, running over. If he expects men to do that for you, expect that that's what God will do. God will never do less than what man will do. Hallelujah. God always does greater. Just know that. Just know that. God will do more than he said he's going to do. Always. So, come on. What do you mean? He said, Abraham, you're going to have Isaac. Is that what he said? But the man is now old. He was old already. 100 years old when he had Isaac. Guess what? He had many more children after that. Because God does more than he said. If there's one thing you must get today and keep with you, it is this. God does more than he said he will do. Settle it. Exceedingly. Far above anything that you dare ask or think. He's going to exceed your wildest hopes, dreams, and aspirations. So, child of God, dare to dream. Dare to dream. Dare to believe. You cannot outbelieve God. Did you hear what I said? You cannot outbelieve God. He will always stop whatever it is that you are dreaming about. The only limitations that we have are the limitations that we place on ourselves and we place on God. Therefore, I must take the limits off. If you agree with that statement, say, I take the limits off of God. Amen? I take the limits off of God. God, be God. You know, God is best when he is God. He knows how to do God real good. Hallelujah. He knows how to answer his name well. Glory be to God. And so we talked about that. We began to look at the names of God. And we're yet going to look at the names of Jesus. Actually, he has one name. But he has many manifestations, attributes attached to that name. You just need one name. He has one name. That name is Yeshua, Jesus. He has Another one that you might call a name, it's called Emmanuel. That's a declaration of who Jesus is. He is God with us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But today we want to explore one particular aspect. We know his name is Jesus. But what did he come to do? What did Jesus come to do? If he is the Lamb of God that represents the new covenant that God wants to establish, what did he come to do? And I know your answer is going to be, first and foremost, he came to save us from our sins. And there's nothing wrong with that answer. That's a perfect answer. It's a good answer. It's a true answer. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us exactly what he really came to do. Yes, we can say, for this purpose he came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that will be a true answer. But really, what is the bottom line of what he came to do? We know that we are created in the image and the likeness of God, and we fell short of that glory. So God, Jesus, came to restore that glory. Yes? You'll accept that? And that glory was brought about by the presence of sin. So he came to destroy the power of sin so that that glory can be restored. Yes? But what is this glory if we are created in the image and the likeness of God? What is this glory and this image of God that God created us to be? I suggest to you that that is our greatest challenge. The one challenge that every one of us here faces, more than any other challenge, is not about being drunk or doing drugs or committing adultery or killing or whatever else. There is one fundamental factor that we all are challenged with. And when we explore why Jesus came, we will come to an understanding of it. Because if we understand what this is, our victory is established. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, and I encourage you to read Matthew 11. It's a very good chapter to read. It says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He hints to us what his assignment is. I want to reveal the Father. I came to reveal the Father. In John chapter 14, he's telling the disciples about going to the Father and who he was, and they ask him, we've not seen the Father. He says, what do you mean you've not seen the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I came here to reveal the Father. I came here to make sure that you know him. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. No one knows the Father except for the Son. And to whom the Son reveals the Father. I'm here to make certain that you know the Father. Amen? I came here to make sure that you do what? Know the Father. Now, when we're talking about knowing God, we're not talking about knowing about Him, because you can read about God and you say, I know God. And there's this certain level where, as believers, we've studied the Bible and we say, we know God. But if you don't know this particular aspect of God, you don't know God. Jesus said, I came to make sure that I reveal the Father to you so that you know God. Now, let's go a little bit further. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. In Daniel chapter 11, this is another chapter to explore. Every book is, and every chapter is worthy of exploration. But in this chapter, and I encourage you to read all of it, he says, and such as do wickedly against the what? The covenant. That do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt, talking about the spirit of the Antichrist, by flatteries. By flatteries. Oh, you're so good. You're so nice because you're doing good and you're following the regiment of things. And here, I'll give you some stuff so that you break away from the covenant of God. And there is a covenant that you must stick with. Child of God. It says, but the people that do know their God shall be what? Strong. And do what? Exploits. In other words, they are not exploited. They do the exploiting. Glory be to God. Why? Because they know their God. And when they know their God, they are not defined by what man says or what man gives to them. They are defined in their identity by the very fact that they know God. They know God. The people that know God do exploits. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord says, you know, from the times, from the beginnings of time, the times of John the Baptist, even until now, you know, the kingdom suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. Amen? And when, take me back to Matthew 11, because in Matthew 11, John the Baptist begins to question. Jesus, should I be expecting somebody else, or are you the real deal? Are you the real deal? And God wants to bring you and I to a place where we are no longer questioning anything as it relates to Him. He wants you to be very confident in your relationship with Him. Hallelujah. He wants you to be absolutely clear on what you believe and why you believe it. It says here, came to pass, verse 1, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent 12 of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Understand who is asking this question. This is John the Baptist. This is the one that saw Jesus coming and said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I told you about, that he's so great I cannot even mess around with the lashes of his sandals. He's the real deal. And now he's in a crisis point. And he's asking, I know you're doing miracles. I know all of that. But Should I be looking for somebody else? You see, we come to a place where we question the integrity of God when we're in trouble. And God is basically saying to us, listen, it doesn't matter what happens around you. Understand, I got your back. Even when it looks like I don't have your back, even if I decide not to save you out of a natural situation, understand I have eternal purposes concerning you. Amen? So this is what the Lord says. Verse 4. Watch this. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Go share the testimonies with him. And verse 5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. That doesn't belong there. Oh, absolutely does. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now look at this, look at this. The blind receive their sight. They are blind, I give them sight. They are lame, I cause them to walk. They are lepers, I cleanse them from their leprosy. They are deaf, I make them hear. They are dead, and I raise them up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them so that they can enjoy poverty. No? So that the stronghold of poverty is shattered from their lives. Why? I love them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke 4 and verse 18. Watch this. The Spirit of God is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal brokenhearted people, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he's basically saying to us that whatever it is that he's doing based on a grace that's upon him. And that grace comes from somewhere. It comes from the one who sent him. Are you with me so far? He sent him to do what? To break the stronghold of poverty. For by the anointing, the yoke is destroyed. Someone say, I am anointed of God. I cannot be poor. Hallelujah. I cannot be poor. That means that you cannot have a poverty mentality or a poverty experience, because that has nothing to do with the goodness of God. Poverty has nothing to do with the goodness of God. It's an eyesore. Sickness has nothing to do with the goodness of God. That's why your body, your mind, your emotions, everything about you must reject everything that does not honor the glory of God. Your body must reject every disease. Must reject every sickness, every presence of darkness, everything that is contrary to that which is good cannot have any presence in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your relationships. The devil is a liar. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. There is nothing about God that says that I have to have mental problems. Not when God has offered me the mind of Christ. The devil's a liar. I'm not going to be living my life popping one pill after the other to just have a balance. No, I can trust that God can heal and heal completely and bring total restoration in every area of life. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He says, the people that know God do exploits. Now, what is it that about this God? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul writes, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. But I came alongside of Christ. The things that were important to me, I shoved off because I didn't want any distraction. Why? Let's go on to verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I suffered the loss of all kinds of stuff, but I call all those things, as important as they were to me, I call them all dung, that I may win Christ. I found out this is more important than all of those other stuff. It's more important than the car, the house, the clothes, the shoes, the whatever else. I want Christ. Amen? Let's go on. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we see Paul here going on and saying, you know what? I'd rather have this knowledge. I want to know him, the anointed one, and his anointing. And verse 10 says this, that I may what? That I may what? That I may what? Know him and the power of his resurrection. There's resurrection power in him. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That doesn't sound very exciting. Only if you understand that being made conformable unto his death meant that you are dying to the things of this world so you can embrace the things that God has. Amen? He says, I found out that knowing him was going to get me something better. Hallelujah. But we're still talking about knowing. What is it about God that we need to know? I need to know this God. But what exactly do I need to know? Jesus came to make sure that I get to know the Father. And he is a representation of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But what is it that I need to know? First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. I would like for you to read this entire chapter, but I'll take it off from verse 7. Book of 1 John, Epistle of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7. It says this, beloved, let us what? Love one another, for love is of what? God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and what? knoweth God. And this is the one challenge that faces every one of us. Your greatest challenge in life is nothing else but that one simple statement, L-O-V-E. That's your greatest challenge. That's my greatest challenge. That's our greatest challenge, love. And if you know God, you are going to walk in love. Amen? This is key. This is the bottom line. Because love causes you to make right decisions. Not walking in love makes you make the wrong decision. Not loving causes you to gossip. Not loving causes you to backbite. Not loving causes you to be just outright wicked in your criticism because you're not criticizing somebody so that they can be better. You're criticizing them to tear them down. Not loving causes you to murder. Not loving causes you to think evil and be suspicious of people. Are you with me? And if you are born of God, then you are born of love. Let's go further. He that loveth not knoweth not what? God. If you don't love, you don't what? Know God. Why? For God is love. This is who God is. He is what? Love. That's it. So when Jesus came to reveal the Father, he came to reveal love. For God so what? Loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him that was given and the giver should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So everlasting life comes from love. So when God gives you eternal life, what did he give to you? Love. You are in love. When you are outside love, you don't have eternal life. And God is calling every one of us to love. That makes sense? This is our great challenge. Let's go on further. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. This is how God manifested that. Because that God sent his what? Only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who what? Loved me and gave himself for me. Faith worketh by what? Love. Is that not true? Come. Let's reason together. The Bible says, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing comes by what? The Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus. Okay. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Whatever is not done on the basis of faith is what? Sin. True? That's the Word of God. If it's not done in faith, it is sin. But faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So whatever is not done by the Word of God heard is sin. Is that okay? Just come with me, step by step. Faith without works is what? Dead. The wages of sin is what? Death. Let's do some mathematics here. Spiritual mathematics. Faith without works is dead. The reason it's dead is because it's not done with love. Faith without works is dead. 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 But the Word of God is how I get faith. Now, listen to this. This is important. I'm stuck here for a reason. Because I want you to understand something. Faith without works is dead. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So, Word without works is dead. But the Word is based on the love of God, because faith works by love. So, love without works is dead. Works without love without works is dead. Love without works is dead. But faith comes by hearing. Oh, guess what? The point is this. Because I love does not mean that I try to solve everybody's problem. It just means that I need to keep my ears open all the time to hear what God is instructing me to do, and that I do what God said I should do. Did you get it? So my daily bread, it's my daily assignment. What did God assign me to do today? And am I doing it? And am I doing it in the spirit of love based on what I heard God say? So I dare not, as a minister of the gospel, come here and open that Bible or iPad or whatever and start yapping away, talking whatever it is I want to talk about, because that's what I feel like I need to talk about. The only thing I need to be saying to you when I stand before you is to say what God is saying. Any other thing is dead works. The only thing you need to be saying to me, the only thing I need to be saying to you is what God is, I'm hearing by the Spirit of God. So the Word of God says that the prophets of old and the law prophesied. Even the law prophesied, because it was the word that God was saying, the instruction that God was releasing. When I speak to you, I must speak to you based on what God is saying. That means also that you need to hear like God is speaking. That makes sense? Because when you hear the word and you receive it, faith arises inside of you to fulfill the mandate of the Lord. Glory be to God. We live through Him. We live through love. Verse 10. Hearing is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins. 11. Watch this. Beloved, if God so loved us, if God so loved us that he gave his best so that our sins are addressed, we ought also to love one another. In other words, don't hold people to their past. Don't be one of those people. You're always this and you're always that. Nobody always this and always that. If you're living in the world of you always and you always and you never this and you never that and it's all negative, guess what? You are busy carrying something. And it's tainting your love walk. You've got to protect your love walk. Do you understand? You and I have to protect our love walk. Because protecting our love walk is protecting our God walk. And the devil will want to create an atmosphere where we are not walking in love so that we are not walking in God. You get it? Let's go on. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is what? Perfected. His love is what? Perfected. If it was perfected already, it won't be saying it will be perfected. So you grow in love. You mature in love. How? By the decisions you and I make. Because love is God, but love is a decision. Let's go further. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. God is love. This is how we know that we dwell in God and he in us. Because he had given us of his what? Spirit. He gave us his spirit. Guess what? That spirit there is the Holy Spirit, but it's also the Word of God. So what is this point? The point is that Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, dwells in us, but the Word of God also says to us that God the Father dwells in us. And Jesus dwells in us. What is the basis of that? Because we're walking in love with each other. He said, we'll come and we'll make our abode with you. Do you have God? Yes. Well, how come you hate your brother? Well, if you only knew what they did. Yeah. That's a big question mark. Because he had given us of his spirit. He is giving us of his spirit. What spirit? The spirit of his love. Let's go on. And we have seen. I know I'm rushing through these verses. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Why? Because he loves the world. So he sent his son. 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And guess what? If he comes and dwells in us, and we in him, and the Word of God already told us that is based on the spirit of love, then whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God is only able to do so because they love him and they love people. Now, you, when you don't tell people that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who came to take away our sins, then you're not saying, by not saying it to them, you are not demonstrating that God is love in you and that you have Him. So you cannot be a believer and not be a minister of the gospel. Because there's no fear in love. If you have Him, you're going to talk about Him. You're going to confess Jesus is the Son of God. And if He's the Son of God and He dwells in you, and you in God, then you know that you're protected by God. Let me go further. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, that's in God, dwelleth in God and God in him. This is what Jesus came to show us. He came to reveal to us that God is love. And our acceptance of that fact, that God is love, affects how we live our lives on a daily basis, how we relate with each other. Love does not enslave. Love is not demanding, you got to do this for me, you got to do this for me, you got to do this for me because you owe me. No, 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 no. Love is about what can I give to you? So love causes us to compete with each other, not in a negative way, but compete with each other to see who's going to outdo each other in giving. Hello? Do you know what the enemy wants to generate in our lives? An atmosphere where we are always asking, what did you do for me lately? You did not do this for me. You did not do this for me. It's not your problem about what somebody did not do for you. Your real issue is, what are you doing for them? That's what you need to focus your attention on, child of God. That's what you and I need to focus our attention on. What am I doing for you? Not what you did or did not do for me. What you did not do for me must not at all determine how I react to you and what I bring to the table for you. I'm responsible to love you. And love says, you can decide yourself whether you're going to love me back. But I make the decision that I'm going to love you. If you accept it, great. If you don't accept it, that's your problem. But I'm going to still love you. Hello? Now, what do you think that is going to do for my marriage and your marriage? What do you think that's going to do for you and I at the workplace? When I'm going to have coffee, and I know Janet, she loves coffee too. Now that I'm here, let me get her some coffee while I'm here. And I just come and say, hey, this is for you. What? You did that for me? Yes. Guess what Janet is going to do next time? When she goes to she might just want some coffee too. And one day we'll have 3 cups of coffee. This is pressed down, shaking together, running over. We are generating love one to the other. And when we are doing that, we are revealing God. The God of abundance. The God that is gracious. That's why we cannot sit in church and not be ministering to somebody else. I'm waiting for somebody to do something so we can criticize what they are doing. Where's God in you then? You're in the house of God, you get involved. You make sure that people feel comfortable and people are blessed when they come in and things are happening and people are enjoying each other's presence. And in that enjoyment, we are worshiping in spirit and in truth. You are praying for people. Oh God, today people are going to come to church. I ask, oh God, that you guide and protect them. And Lord, oh God, whatever their needs are, oh Father, let them receive an answer in the word. Let them receive an answer, oh God, through the worship time. Let them receive an answer when they come through those doors. Father, do a mighty work, oh God, in the lives of your people. Let their lives not be the same in the mighty name of Jesus. And the devil says, are you the pastor? He said, get out of here. I'm not the pastor, but that's my brother and my sister coming. And I'm here to minister unto them. Hallelujah. Guess what? You'll be watching when you come to church. Oh, Johnny's not here. I wonder what's happening with Johnny. Let me call and find out. Maybe there's something I can do. I can pray. I can encourage them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me go further. Oh, wow, my time is speeding so fast. Herein is our love made perfect. This is how our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And there will be a day of judgment, because as he what? He is. So are we in this world. How is he? He's in love. And how are we in this world? In love. Hello. This is the bottom line. 18. There is no what? Fear in love. When you are in love and you are in God, there is no what? Fear. Well, I'm afraid of COVID. I'm afraid of armed robbers. I'm afraid, you know, of the scammers. I'm afraid of this. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. And anything that brings torment into a life, God does not want for you. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us what people are tormented. People that do not operate in forgiveness. Remember, the Word of God says, the people that did not forgive, he sent to the tormentors. You cannot be living in unforgiveness and be walking in love. Those two don't work together. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If you're living in fear, you're not perfected in love. Very clear statement. 19. We love him because he first what? Loved us. 20. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a what? A liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Jesus came to reveal the Father so that we can see the Father. And if we see the Father as he is, then what we are going to see is a God who loves. And if he loves me. Do you know God loves you? Is that settled in your spirit? I am loved by God. Then, if you have that settled, you don't run away from God. Let me say that again. If you have that settled in your life, that God loves you, you don't run away from God. You run to God. A child that tripped and fell, they don't run away from mama and papa. They go running to papa. Daddy! That's what you do. You run to God because, you know, comfort is there. There is now, therefore, now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you're in love. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the what? Flesh, but after the what? Spirit. And he has given to us love by his what? Spirit. Are you able to give me the Amplified Version? If you can find it. I like 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. First Peter 4 and verse 8. Let me see if I can get it myself here. First Peter 4 and verse 8. It says, and above all things, have what? Fervent, that is passionate, charity, love among yourselves. For charity, love, does what? Shall cover the multitude of sins. Love is not about me exposing your nakedness. Love is about me coming and throwing the skirt of covering to protect. It is in a place of unity. Psalm 133. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil of anointing that was poured upon the head of Aaron that ran down his beard and down his skirts. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, in love. Verse 2, Psalm 133:2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. In verse 3, watch this. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. And we know that that life forevermore, that eternal life, is in God, is in love, is in knowing Jesus Christ, knowing the Father, and knowing the Son. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God. For this is the love of God. That we keep his what? Commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. So when we are walking in love with God, we keep his commands. We obey his commands. We follow his instructions. What he says, we do. God says, that is your demonstration of love. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm done with that part. And I'm going to pray in just a moment. But something rather interesting happened yesterday as I was finalizing in my spirit, in my mind, what God was saying to share with us. I was going to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 7, which I did. And as I was going through my scriptures, looking at the scripture passages, I noticed that Philippians 3 was in there. I had written Revelations chapter 3. I said, oh, so I started scribbling, and if you can zoom in, you'll see it in my note. You know, I started scribbling and turned the R to a P and tried to make Philippians. And the Lord says to me, says, why don't you ask me why you wrote Revelation? You're counseling. Why don't you ask me why you wrote the book of Revelation chapter 3? I said, so why did I write the book of Revelation chapter 3 instead of Philippians chapter 3? He said, why don't you go and read it? So I'm going to read to you what's on God's mind. In Revelation chapter 3, this verse here, I'm going to read from verse 7, Revelation 3, 7. This is the book that is written to the church of Philadelphia. Guess what the word Philadelphia is about? That's another word for love, brotherly love. Are you with me? Okay. So I start reading it. It says, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this thing said he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, he that openeth and no man shut it, and shut it and no man opened it. Verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Please hear this. This is a prophetic declaration from God to you. To you. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, small, and hast kept my word, stayed true to my word, and hast not denied my name. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. We say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. In other words, those that say they are believers, but are lying. If you're not walking in love, you are a what? A liar. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have what? Loved thee. Are you with me? 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. God was speaking loud and clear. I'm going to keep you through all the problems that are coming upon the world. If you walk in love, you will overcome. Period. You got it? Capish? Rise with me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went for me. He went for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. And now he set me free. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went for me. He went for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. And now he sets me free. One more time. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went for me. He went for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. And now he sets me free. So I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout praise the Lord. So I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout praise the Lord. So I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout, shout, shout praise the Lord. So I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout, oh, praise the Lord. So I can shout hallelujah. I can shout hallelujah. I can shout, amen, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are revealing yourself to us. You're revealing love to us. You're flooding our spirits, our souls, our bodies with your love. Therefore, we shall not walk in hate. We shall not walk in strife. We shall not walk in unbelief. For love believeth all things. Let there be a manifestation of the splendor of love in every aspect of our lives, that we may know your protection, your provision, your peace, your prosperity in every area of our lives. This is our declaration. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Yahweh, for your everlasting love. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Awesome. Thank God for every one of you. I trust that the Word of God spoke to a particular area in your life that needs to be spoken to today. At this time, we're going to share in communion together. And I want to remind you that it's also the time for us to give unto the Lord. So I encourage you now to honor God with your giving, with your tithe, with your offerings. And those things are only truly possible when you are walking in love with God. You love God, you give like your Father gives. You honor like your Father honors. You move in a particular flow. And if you've not released your offering yet, do so right now. Those of you online, you have the information that you can use to do so. I encourage you to do that at this point. And then we position ourselves now to share in communion. If you don't have the elements of communion, please raise your hand and the ushers will get to you and make sure that you have your element. There's a sister here. You need one? Right here. Praise the Lord. Mama, you want to come? This is a demonstration of God's love at this table of communion. God called us. He says we need to do this in remembrance of Him. And Paul, talking about it, says we need to wait for each other. Make sure everybody is properly served. Because this is an act of love. Somebody asked me a question yesterday. He said, I don't understand, he said. Why did God not punish Cain after he killed Abel? I said, God punished him. He said, He did? I said, yes. God spoke punishment over Cain, but Cain cried out to God and said, God, this is too much for me. And God says, you're right. Because God is so, so love. He says, yeah, I can't do that. Anybody who tries to mess with you, I'm going to mess with them. So he said, okay, but why didn't God accept Cain's offering? So, well, there are some reasons for it. Number one reason, he did not bring the first fruit. Second reason was that he was producing and bringing to God his works, what he had worked hard, his sweat and blood. So God rejected that because it had to be what God did. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And then I said to him, I said, third reason. Are you listening? It's very important. Third reason. The reason Cain did not get a lamb from his brother was because he did not, one, want to submit to receive the right thing from his brother to serve. Two, if he goes to his brother and gets trades to get from his brother, he'll be blessing his brother. And he cannot afford to let him have anything more. And when you do that, you shut yourself off of the blessing of God. At the table of communion, we are no longer about ourselves. We're about being a blessing to each other. Make certain that this week, you focus on certain things that you need to do that will be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? It's the table of communion. We're going to take off this body and we're going to eat. And we're going to do it in remembrance of Him. In remembrance of love. Take and eat.
Blessing. As you take up this today, may your life be restored back to order in God.
Amen.
That everything that troubles you will be gone in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Father.
Healing, deliverance, wholeness, restoration, health, blessings, wealth, and the richness of God's love will be your portion. Take and drink in Jesus.
Amen. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my life rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now, Lord, I am happy all the day. Amen. Father, we thank you for your manifold blessings. We receive the gift of love. We are infused by love. Your love is shed abroad in our hearts. Let that which you have sown in us prosper. Love of God, prosper in the people of God now. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for every one of you. And may the blessings of God abound towards you. We look forward to having you back tonight for another wonderful time in the presence of the Father. Is anyone here for the first time? No? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to say hello to those who may be online on Zoom. So if you can give us our Zoom family, so we can say hello to them real quick.